Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. My name is Mike. Along with me is the Adam out of Oregon the Josiah with the golden tan. Floridian tan, he betrayed Southern California beaches. Yeah, no. But welcome to the Thin Line Believers. And our brother Josiah is going to pray and open up in the Word of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity that we have just to gather, speak about you, Lord, and about topics that are upon our hearts, Lord, that we might reflect you, Lord, in our daily jobs and in the positions that you've placed us. Lord, none of us are at any point in our lives where we can say we've apprehended or we know. But God, we simply want to be tools in your hands. And Lord, and bless those that are listening. And so, Lord, as we open your scripture and as we seek your face, God, would you guide, lead and direct our conversation, and may it be glorifying to you, and may it touch lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
So today, we wanted to touch on the topic of servant leadership. And the Lord put a passage of scripture on my heart, and that's going to be found in Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 10, and I'll read it. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge their borders of their garment. They love the best place at the feast, the best seat in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." I believe that went to verse 12. So just right off the bat, I mean, you know, as we possibly gain and, you know, grow in our jobs in law enforcement, we kind of gain leadership roles, and you know, we might find ourselves among sergeants and commanders. Myself, you know, lead Krav instructor and kind of other positions where you're leading people. I think the best idea that I have for servant leadership is looking to Christ, right? I mean, here he is, the greatest among us all, right? Walked this earth as a fully man and fully God, and was sinless in all of his actions, and he led by example in everything that he did. And he washed the disciples' feet. I mean, taking on the lowest position of a servant in that time and culture to show the disciples what it means to lead. And I think many of our leaders that we might be under, that we've ever been under, fail in this position. And I think they take on exactly what we see Jesus speaking about here in the Pharisees, where they take on this "I am greater than you" kind of mentality, and they throw all these burdens and regulations and things upon us, and yet they're not willing to jump in to the pit and help us. Pastor Chuck Smith, the founder of Calvary Chapels, was a huge example of a servant leader in this, and we've talked about him in a couple other podcasts, but I remember vividly digging a hole and you know, working at the college, and he would come along and jump right into that ditch and help you along the way. And that was huge, right? Here's Chuck Smith, you know, senior pastor, and he's willing to get his hands dirty to help us out. And, you know, having that humbleness to,
I think the word is humility. Work with each
other. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. I said it's humility, man. Humbleness. Come on.
Humbleness, humility. It all works. Just to, you know, show us that it's really a you know, serving, leading from below rather than from above.
Yeah, I think the best supervisors that I've had display that. The ones that and that's not to say that supervisors are above others, but the best supervisors I have, they are the one that's going to grab the towel, get down and wash the feet. And I'm not saying that a supervisor needs to wash my feet. That's not what I'm saying. But it's one that's going to lead by example, right? It's not telling me the way. It's showing me the way. With humbleness.
Humility.
Oh, sorry.
I, you know, this is such a huge topic. And for us to be able to knock this out in 30, 45 minutes, it's going to be a miracle. But just like Josiah was mentioning, you know, I got to Calvary Costa Mesa with Pastor Chuck probably when I was like in junior high, early high school, something like that. And he was a living example of what a servant was. I would be there on Saturdays goofing around with my friends. And I remember there was a wedding, and I remember Pastor Chuck just cleaning even before the wedding. He'll take off his jacket and start cleaning. So because of the reception was there, and he was a living example of what it is to be a servant, you know. And it, on top of the scriptures that just Josiah read, Jesus says, "I did not come here to be served, but to serve." That heart, and that's something that Pastor Chuck had. And you know, not to name any particular pastors, but I think there's a lot of, you know, senior pastors, lead pastors that are not leading by example. You know, they're too big to pick up trash. They're too, you know, big to clean this or that. And Pastor Chuck was completely opposite. And I remember, maybe Josiah could help me from Bible college. He was the director of construction there. Anyways, I don't think it really matters. There was a handful Darryl? Of. No, not Darryl. Carl Bentz.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Carl picked a handful of guys. Those that, you know, Costa Mesa was your home, but he also chose some guys that were actually knew how to use your hand to do some stuff. And so he invited me and a few others. I went to Pastor Chuck's house, this old house in Costa Mesa with wallpapers, and I was tasked to take off all the wallpaper in the whole house. And unbeknownst to me, Pastor Chuck grabbed tools right next to me and just started taking off, you know, wallpaper. And we just got to talking, you know. It was just a kind of like, for me, like a grandfather moment, you know, with my pastor. And here, he didn't have to do this. I remember him specifically saying, he was like, "You know, Michael, this one project of taking off wallpaper is going to end up becoming a full remodel for the house." Because he's like, "Kay's going to want to redo this, redo that, get new cabinets." And sure enough, you know, week after week, you know, it ended up being a project where things were taken down. And Pastor Chuck was such a frugal guy. He knew how to reuse and repurpose everything. But he was such a living example of what a servant leader is. He's not one just to preach in the pulpit and then completely change his demeanor, his attitude. I mean, he really lived a life of humility or humbleness, you know. And that's something that I think is missing behind the badge. Now, I spoke with the FOP chaplain out here in Colorado, and something that he said, something that kind of stuck to my head, is more Christian men and women need to step up in leadership positions in both fire and police, because Christians ought to be the ones that knows how to serve. You know, you guys mentioned wash feet, and I remember being part of a denomination or church, and we had actually foot washing services, and the leadership of that young adult group would wash the feet of all the people that were coming to a retreat. And it's a very emotional, moving experience, but that taught me something about, you know, humility, because it takes humility on both sides. It takes humility to wash someone's feet, but it also takes humility to take off your socks and have your feet washed. Because, I mean, not more, I don't think guys, but definitely girls, they're the thought, I don't want people to see my toes. I might have cuticles and calluses or whatnot. Guys, I'm like, who cares, you know? But there's a humility on both aspects. And I remember washing, I think it was the pastor's son. He was kind of a PIA. And I ended up getting the opportunity to wash his feet, you know? And if you've ever been part of a foot washing service, you don't really make eye contact, because chances are you're just going to start bawling because of the moment. And I remember this pastor's kid, like, he just grabbed me in my shoulder and says, I don't want you to wash my feet. I go, I understand that, but this is a foot washing service. And if you don't mind, you know, and I got a chance to experience it. I mean, I was bawling. The pastor's kid was bawling. And that was a pivotal moment, not only for me, but also a pivotal moment for him, because, you know, I took off his shoes, took off his socks with toe jam in it and everything. But the moment I got to washing his feet, there was an exchange of prayer where he was praying for me and I was praying for him. Real, real emotional, real spiritual moment. But I think when my FOP chaplain friend out here, he says, Christians know what it is to serve. If we can grasp that and be able to be in positions to serve in uniform, you know, because let's admit it, there are some sheriffs out there, there are some chiefs out there, sergeants, lieutenants, and on, that they're not good leaders. They're not good servants, you know. And if they're not good leaders, chances are they're not going to be good servants. And I think there is a huge part in Christian's life where we can serve our men and women in uniform in a better way. How that something is a process of working at, where how can I serve my fellow, you know, group or my fellow guys? And servant leadership, I think one of you guys mentioned it, is led by example. You know, what's that saying? It's caught, not taught, you know. And speaking about Calvary Chapel Ministries in and of itself as a whole, even though there's, Josiah, is like, what, 2,000 Calvary Chapels worldwide? Something like that?
Something, maybe a little more.
But all the original Calvary Chapels that were started were sent out by Pastor Chuck Smith, Mike McIntosh, John Corson, Greg Laurie, you know, Steve Mays, a bunch of these guys. And these guys were taught the Word of God, but they caught the vision of service through Pastor Chuck, by how he exemplified what it is to be a servant leader as a pastor. You know, when Pastor Chuck, we know all the stories about that Jesus movement, when they put brand new carpeting in the church and then the hippies were going to come, what did they do? They ripped the carpet out, you know, so that the hippies could go into service and get saved and all that. And I think that's a huge testimony of Calvary Chapels back in the Jesus movement, where most of these guys, if I'm not mistaken, didn't have any type of formal seminary education, you know, but the churches that were planted were planted by pastors that got saved, and they were really servants before they went out and started their own churches, so to speak. I'll leave it at that.
I found it interesting that you did say, you know, we possibly are under men who aren't, you know, being the servant leaders, right? They do exactly what the Pharisees do, and they throw burdens upon us that are overbearing. They're heavy burdens. They're hard to bear. And they themselves, as it says in Matthew 23, verse 4, will not move them with one of their fingers. Meaning, you know, you go do this, and then they go sit in their office and do whatever they're doing. And yet Christ would tell his disciples, hey, you do what they tell you to do, right? I mean, it doesn't, just because of their lack of leadership or their style of leadership that we might not agree with, doesn't allow us the ability or the time to back away from it, right? So we're called to continue to serve. We're called to continue to be those examples, to do what they've asked us to do, regardless of how their leadership style is. And yet then he challenges his disciples to say, but I want you to be different. I don't want you to follow exactly what they're saying. I want you to be that servant leader. So even if we don't have the title, and I think that's a lot of times where we feel like, I think where we get hung up on, right? Once I get a title, now I can be that leader. Once I get that title, okay, now I can implement the things that I would do, and I'll do it different than, you know, my current supervisors. And I think Christ is telling us here that it has nothing to do with the title. You know, a title doesn't make me anything. That's just a little piece of paper that says, hey, great job. You've been, you know, what's evident in your life is evident, and we prove it, right? Just like how when I got ordained as a pastor, and just because I went to Bible college and got a degree doesn't mean that I'm automatically have the ability to be a pastor. Being a pastor, I believe, has so many other attributes in your life that you ought to be living out way before that piece of paper. And so I think a lot of times we get this idea like, oh, once I get the stripes sewn on, you know, now I'm a leader. Now people will have to listen to me. And it's not about having to listen to people. It's about, you know, what's our priority? What's our heart in all of it? I read a really interesting book, and let me I want to pull out a little section of it, and then I'm sure it'll put us off on a little rabbit trail, but it's a really great book. It's called The Mission, The Men, and Me. It's lessons from a former Delta Force commander. Pete Belaber, I think, is the author. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I apologize if he or anyone knows him. But it's his last name is Belaber. And he was a Delta Force commander. And he writes this concerning the mission, men, and me. And let me get to that little section of the book here. But the idea is, you know, here he is, he's got some guys that are underneath them, and they're in Iraq, and they're surrounded, and I mean, the mission is going bad, right? It's there. they were to go and take over this stronghold, and they were outnumbered, and it was not a good time. And he remembered some guiding principles that he learned earlier on in his career. Back in 1985, he was a brand new second lieutenant reporting for duty in Korea. And his battalion commander, a soft-spoken Vietnam veteran, called him into his office, and he asked him if he's ever heard of the three M's. And Pete says, "No, sir, I've never heard the three M's." And he goes on to explain that the three M's are the keys to being successful in life. They stand for mission, the men, and me. And he draws a line from top M through the middle M down to the bottom M. Says they're all connected. So if you neglect one, you'll screw up the others. The first M stands for the mission. It's the purpose for which you're doing what you're doing, whether in your personal or professional life. Make sure you understand it, and it makes legal, moral, and ethical sense. Then use it to guide all your decisions. The second M stands for the men. Joshua Chamberlain, a Medal of Honor receiving school teacher in the Civil War, once said that there are two things an officer must do to lead men. He must care for his men's welfare, and he must show courage. Welfare for the troops and courage are inextricably linked. When it comes to your men, you can't be good at one without being good at the other. Take care of your men's welfare by listening and leading them with sound tactics and techniques that accomplish your mission, and by always having them courage of your convictions to do the right thing by them. The final M stands for me. Me comes last for a reason. You have to take care of yourself, but you should only do so after you've taken care of the mission and the men. Never put your own personal well-being or advancement ahead of the accomplishment of your mission, and take care of your men. And I think so often our leaders put me before the mission and the men, right? And I think that's what happens when Christ is saying here to his disciples, look, you put yourself last, you put the mission first, the men around you second, and you put yourself last. This commander had a mission. They had to defend this, but they were totally outnumbered. And had they continued to push forward, he would have lost all of his men. And so he pulls them back. But by pulling them back, he disobeyed orders from his commander, from his bosses. And he risked losing his position to protect his men, because he realized the mission was not going to be successful, right? So he knew, he understood his mission. Men came and he said, I'm not going to lose my men. So he pulls them back, even though that meant maybe a loss for himself. And I think in servant leadership, just to keep it in that process, I think if I understand my mission, I understand my goals, I understand my desire, where I want to go, what I want to reach. Now I have men around me. I have people who I'm, you know, overseeing, or people under my care. And I got to make sure that they're taken care of, and they're satisfied, and they're protected, and they got the tools they need to get their job done. And then me comes last. And so often I find myself sometimes putting me first, and that's when everything falls apart.
You mean me, myself, and I is not leadership?
Nope.
Man. No, that's good. I mean, right? You know, when you read that, I was reminded of let me pull it up again. Obviously, John Maxwell, who writes a lot on leadership, let me see here. He quotes Zig Ziglar, who said, if you help people get what they want, they will help you get what you want. And John Maxwell says what he was really talking about was servant leadership. And he makes a comment in his book. Zig's comment made me realize something. I was trying to get others to help me, not trying to help them. I realized my attitude toward people wasn't right. And that knowledge started me on a journey to eventually made me realize that the heart of leadership is based on serving others, not myself. It challenged me to invert the power pyramid, putting others on top and myself on the bottom. And I think what you just read is that, you know, putting me last, so to speak. And in an age of TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, it's all about, you know, me. Whereas I think that's what's lacking in a lot of places is servants, leaders that are putting others first. You know that, you know, Christians have some cheesy acronyms, but some of them are pretty good, you know, but like joy, Jesus, others, yourself. You know, I think it, number one priority is we need to serve the Lord. I mean, obviously Jesus washed feet. He's the one who said, I didn't come here to be served, but to serve. And it's a matter of how can I, it's like, how can I serve my wife, even though she's bugging the daylights out of me, right? Or how can I serve my kids? I told them to pick up their room and they didn't pick up their room, you know? How can I serve my brother, you know, or my sister? And it's just kind of one of those things. And a lot of times we have to swallow our pride. And like we were saying earlier, it starts with humility, you know? How can I serve so-and-so in this circumstance? How can I serve my fellow neighbor? And I think that's definitely needed more and more in the uniform than ever before. You know, I'm sure if we ever talked about it, not that we will, but if we ever had a subject on toxic leaders, I'm sure we can name a lot. You know, I'm sure Josiah and I could sit down and talk about, you know, pastors that weren't necessarily leaders. And, you know, they got the cemetery degree, but sure enough, they weren't really leaders. And so, but, you know, God has a mysterious way of using anybody, you know. And I always taught in the past, if God could use a donkey, there's another word for that. God could use anybody, right? And so, but genuinely, if we want to be used by God, we have to be ones that are filled with the Spirit, you know, and to be able to serve genuinely as a servant leader, you know. After I listened to Jack Hibbs this morning, a message came on by Skip Heitzig. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, with, upon, and in. And Lacey, my wife, was mentioning, what's that book called by Pastor Chuck Josiah? The one with the Holy Spirit. Oh, Living Waters.
Living Water?
Yeah. You know, and she was mentioning, she's like, that's probably the best book that she's ever read on the Holy Spirit. And which made me think, it's like, how can, because, you know, knowing that we're going to do this today, how can I be a servant / leader if I'm not empowered by the Spirit? You know, because if I'm filled with the Spirit, my motive isn't about me now. It's about serving others, right? Washing feet. That might be baking cookies for somebody. That might be praying for someone. That might be, you know, sending a check anonymously to somebody or whatever it might be. Because ultimately, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm serving, washing feet. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. You know, like you mentioned, the mission and about the men, the people that we serve, you know. And if the mission is servant leadership as believers, that mission under that is it's going to involve human beings, whether that be men or women, you know, whether that be whoever it is that kind of bugs us the wrong way at work. But how can I serve them? You know, because there's that scripture, I believe it's in the Proverbs, where it says, when we water others, we'll be watered ourselves. And I'm sure, you know, we could talk about this, but I'm sure all of us have gone through some stuff where, man, it's hard. Life sucks, you know? And I can't get into detail what I'm going through. But, man, God has allowed me to pour myself into others. You know, I've had an opportunity to do spontaneous worship at my friend's house. And, you know, at this person's particular house, one of the daughters got MS and she's been in a wheelchair for a long time now. And that was the first time she was able to have live worship, you know, and to have a little bit of the word being shared. And I was just like, I got more ministered to than I think she was. But that's the thing is, when we're serving others and we're washing feet, right, we find ourselves, you know, renewed and refreshed.
I think so often we're looking for, too, you know, the reward here on earth, right? And we look at it, I mean, within our jobs, I mean, law enforcement, we get into positions and we start to take on more responsibility and we gain the ladder and we get into higher positions and higher positions. And we finally realize like, oh, I've arrived. I don't have to do anything, right? I have people now to do that for me. And we finally like start to take on the rewards of the earthly good. And we're like, yeah, here's my little kingdom. And if that's all you want, great. You know, I live hopefully and prayerfully every day with, you know, Lord, keep eternity on my mind and keep eternity on my eyelids that I could know that this life is not my all. And, you know, we're working towards God's mission, and that is to, you know, preach the gospel to all people, right? And to see his coming. And so, you know, the rewards may be for that servant leadership, the humility in our lives and lowering ourselves and putting others first. We might not see the results here on earth. You know, we might see those in heaven when we stand before God, and ultimately that's where it matters. You know, if we never, ever get into a sergeant position or a lieutenant position here in our work, that's okay. How can we still be the leaders to those around us? Because there's always going to be someone new. There's always going to be someone lower than me on the totem pole. So again, that's why I say it has nothing to do with a title. Just because you don't have stripes on your shoulder or on your sleeve doesn't mean that you can't put these things to practice and serve as a leader those under you and even those above you, right? Setting that example of doing exactly how you would want them to do to you if you were in that position. I mean, if you could think of that. I mean, we all have like, oh, if I was chief, right? Oh, things would be different. Well, I hope so. You know, I truly do. You know, I pray for those in those positions because that's a lot of responsibility upon them. And I pray that they would, you know, if they're men of God, that they would do it in such a way that it would reflect his goodness and his mercy and his love. And it would be exactly as Christ did it, right? He didn't come seeking the best position. He didn't come, you know, wanting the titles of, you know, rabbi, teacher, and oh, father, and right? I mean, he was like, hey, there's one teacher, and that's God, and up in heaven. There's one father, that's our father in heaven. There's one good, and that is him. And so I think there's so much, like Mike said, I mean, we could be hours on this topic, and I think it ultimately comes down to your heart, right? What is my heart in this position, and what am I working to gain? And it's just humbling myself and saying, I want others to be exalted. I want others to, you know, be pushed to goodness and greatness. I want others to be able to accomplish the mission that we're all set on, and how better to do that. I mean, even when we do get into those positions of leadership, is using the gifts around us, right? I think so often, you know, I get into a position of leadership and now I have to be the forefront. I have to be the one doing it all. And I think there are people around us and behind us that might be more successful in doing something, then let them do it, right? Use the gifts around you to accomplish your mission, and you gain as a team. There's no I in team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe by way of example, because I think we can talk about examples. It's best to lead by example, but you know, we have the word as the best example. But this kind of came to mind while you guys are talking about, I think, selfless leadership and about, you know, others, our mission, you know, others and then me. And I guess that's mom. That doesn't make sense. Right. But so
mom's the best leaders.
Yeah. It takes me back to my SWAT days, because we would train for the low probability, high risk situations the most, right? Because those are the ones that, even though you may see them the least, you got to be the most proficient in it. And so among those are obviously HRT, so hostage rescue. And when you go into a hostage rescue, it's almost a perfect example of what we're talking about, because the mission is to save a life. And the lives of everybody else involved come before or take priority over the life of the team member. Okay, so if I'm going in one, two, or three into a room with a hostage, I know that the priority of life puts me at the bottom. Now, obviously, the suspect, there's the victim is most important, right? My teammates are next to that. And a suspect, if he's threatening a life, well, his life takes the least priority. I understand that. However, still, the point is that you go in there and you don't realize it, but the humility, it takes over, because you know that my life, there may be crossfire, you know, depending on the layout. That's just something you're going to have to deal with, because unfortunately, your life isn't the priority at that point. And so I see that kind of playing out in what we're talking about here, is that you are there to serve that victim. And maybe that's an extreme example, but we can take that into everyday life, in that I'm here to serve other people. And if you have a problem, you know, kind of wrapping your head around that, I mean, look at some of the people that we do serve, right? These are the people that are mixed up in drugs, abuse, you know, there. Look at what we're dealing with right now in the major cities, right? Denver, I'm sure, Portland. They're dealing with people that hate you, loathe you. They think that your life, many of them think that your life should end. I mean, just to put it bluntly, right? We talk about lives mattering. It's not even that. It's that they think that your life, they loathe your very existence. And so I think we can run into kind of a conflict there. And how do I wrap my head around this? Well, the thing that works best for me is I have to remember from the very beginning in Genesis, God said, let us create them in our image. Whoever I'm dealing with, whoever I am serving, in whatever capacity I'm serving them, I'm serving the very image of God. And that makes all the difference to me. And like Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Now, I'm not going to choose who the least of them is, because everybody has something about them that's greater than me. And that's what I have used over the years to maintain humility, is knowing that God created something about that person that's better than me. Probably many things about that person that's better than me, regardless of what situation I find them in. That's an image of God. He loves them as much as he loves me. So it's my responsibility as being not only an image bearer myself, but as one who the Holy Spirit indwells, to let that play out in my physical, right? I mean, and then obviously we have the ultimate example of being a servant, the very Son of God took our sins and hung on a tree in ultimate service to us. What does that say that I should be doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, what a great way to wrap up the, you know, a very complex conversation down to it. I mean, again, we come on the bottom of that list to lift our men up to accomplish the mission that's before us. And I think we need to, one, understand what our mission is. And if we don't know what that mission is, then we better sit down and, you know, think it over and write it down. What's our mission? What are we wanting to accomplish in what we are doing and in what we're at and in the position that God has placed us in, regardless of where that is on the totem pole of hierarchy-ness in our, you know, current situations. But what's our mission? And then who are the people around me, right? Who are the men around me? Who are the women around me whom God has entrusted to me? And I'm coming last, regardless of what that means for me. You know, I've always had kind of in ministry and in my job, can I work myself out of a job, right? Can I train up the people around me to take over if I'm not one day there? And that's what we're doing, right? So I train my boys, you know, to step up to the plate, that in that case that I'm not here in this position as husband and father, that they could continue on to be the men of the house, to take on that responsibility and to serve their mother and to serve those that come into this house. You know, at work, right? At Krav, like, it's not, oh yeah, I might be the lead Krav instructor, but that doesn't mean that I have to teach all the time, right? I love to raise up other leaders and let them teach and help them become better leaders and better teachers. Some of them teach way better than I do. And if I could support them to do it, then that's what I'm going to do. And so I think that's our heart in it, is understanding the whole concept of it all. And just like you said, I mean, ultimately Christ gave his life to show us love and to bring us into a relationship with him. And that's what I set out to do, right? To show people that Christ is number one.
You know, when you're talking about that, and you know, in closing, at least for me, you guys could keep going. I gotta get here out of here soon. But, you know, throughout the Pauline epistles, it says Paul, an apostle or a servant of Jesus Christ. Mm. And, you know, in the Greek, the word servant is doulos.
Amen.
And I remember I could picture Paul, you know, being brought back to Rome in a ship. And he's hearing all the grunting of the rowers, you know, below the ship, the under rowers, you know, they're on the bottom of the deck, you know, and it's just kind of one of those things where we're under rowers, you know, we're called to serve. And at times we don't like to, but there's a purpose in it. We don't know why. You know, like I mentioned, there's some things that my family and I are going through. But I was reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that blessed be God, a God of all comfort, who comforts us, you know, in various tribulations, testings, and trials, so that we might be able to comfort others.
Amen.
With the same comfort that we receive then. And I realized, irregardless of what's going on, I got to keep growing. I got to keep moving, you know. And, you know, we forget that in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to the end of the chapter, and to verse 1, Jesus says, let us pass over to the other side. He told that to the disciples. But then we get so fixated on the storm. You know, Jesus is sleeping in the boat. He's sleeping on my pillow that was sent by Mike, you know. And you've got professional fishermen in that boat, but for some reason, they didn't know what to do. You know, they woke Jesus up because he was sleeping. And I've led worship on the Sea of Galilee, and I know it could be very turbulent at times. And then Jesus says, hey, peace be still, be muzzled, in reference to speaking to demons. But we forget in verse 35 of chapter 4 and verse 1 of chapter 5, let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say let us pass under, but let us pass over. Verse 1, it says, and when they came to the other side. And it's amazing to me, right after they experienced Jesus calm the winds and the waves, Jesus is immediately faced with demons again. And that demon's name was Legion, right? Where they got Jesus allowed them to go to a herd of pigs, about 2,000, they said, and went over the cliff. And I realized in ministry, we got to serve on the highs and on the lows, you know? And when we see Jesus move, and when we see Jesus do something, bam, we're going to be faced with something again from the enemy, you know? But irregardless, we're called to be servants. We're called to serve. We're called to minister. And, you know, just say there's a good reminder from whoever that colonel was, the mission, right? We have the mission. We gotta get Jesus Christ out to as many brothers and sisters in uniform. Because why? We know in the line of work that's been done that you can lose your life in a moment's notice, you know? And it's like, man, did they know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because it's not about me. It's about the people that God has placed before us and to share the love of Jesus Christ. And I think one of the best ways to do that is by being a doulos, by being a servant. You know, how can I serve you?
Yeah. Well, Mike, you got to go. And I think this is a ton to ponder on. I mean, if we need to make this a two-parter, let's make it a two-parter. But I think for now, I don't want to... I get overloaded. Mm-hmm. So hey, you want to
do part two.
You want to, mm-hmm. You want to pray us out, Mike, so you can get to church.
Yeah. Yeah. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about servant leadership. And Lord, you and foremost were the one that is the true example of a servant leader. Lord, we're told in the scriptures that you gave up your heavenly kingdom to become a man, to die on the cross for our sins, for humanity. And Lord, no better example than that. And Lord, we pray that you would cause others to be moved by your spirit to be a better servant leader, not because we want to be great, but because, Lord, we want to humble ourselves so that you may be exalted. But I pray for those that wear the badge day in and day out, that you would have a hedge of protection around them. But will you allow, Lord, those that know you to be in position of leadership, Lord, that can serve not only their men and women, but the community as well. And so, Lord, we continue to pray that you would just have your hands upon Thinline Believers podcast, that those that are listening to this can be ministered to, Lord, not just now, but later on, that, Lord, it's a matter of ministry. So we just ask for your blessings upon this. And continue to watch over us this week. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And hey, just real quick, if you do want to connect with us, we do have a Facebook page, Thin Line Believers. We're also on Instagram, and email is probably the quickest way to get a hold of somebody, thinlinebelievers@gmail.com. All right, take care and have a blessed week.